This is a reading from the first letter of John, chapter 4, beginning at the 7th verse. Beloved, let us love one another, because love is from God. Everyone who loves is born of God and knows God. Whoever does not love does not know God, for God is love. God's love was revealed among us in this way. God sent his only Son into the world so that we might live through him. In this is love, not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be the atoning sacrifice for our sins. Beloved, since God loved us so much, we also ought to love one another. No one has ever seen God. If we love one another, God lives in us and his love is perfected in us. By this we know that we abide in him and he in us, because he has given us of his Spirit. And we have seen and do testify that the Father has sent his Son as the Saviour of the world. God abides in those who confess that Jesus is the Son of God, and they abide in God. So we have known and believe the love that God has for us. God is love, and those who abide in love abide in God, and God abides in them. Love has been perfected among us in this, that we may have boldness on the day of judgment, because as he is, so are we in this world. There is no fear in love, but perfect love casts out fear. For fear has to do with punishment, and whoever fears has not reached perfection in love. We love because he first loved us. Those who say, "I love God," and hate their brothers or sisters are liars. For those who do not love a brother or sister whom they have seen cannot love God, whom they have not seen. The commandment we have from him is this: those who love God must love their brothers and sisters also. Hear the word of the Lord.
Thank you, Dale. It was good to hear a bit of the first of the gospel as well, because that's the main point anyway, so extra blessings for you. Let's stand as we sing our gradual hymn.
A deep the Father's love for us, how vast beyond all measure. Father chosen one,
Lord be with you. The Gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ according to St. John, chapter 15, beginning at the first verse. Glory to you, Lord Jesus Christ. I am the true vine, and my Father is the vine grower. He removes every branch in me that bears no fruit. Every branch that bears fruit he prunes to make it bear more fruit. You have already been cleansed by the word that I have spoken to you. Abide in me as I abide in you. Just as the branch cannot bear fruit by itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. Those who abide in me and I in them bear much fruit, because apart from me, you can do nothing. Whoever does not abide in me is thrown away like a branch that withers. Such branches are gathered, thrown into a fire, and burned. If you abide in me and my words abide in you, ask for whatever you wish, and it will be done for you. My Father is glorified by this, that you bear much fruit and become my disciples. This is the gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ. May the words that come from my mouth be inspired by your Holy Spirit. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Would you please be seated? Well, this may come as a shock to some, but sometimes we can get both our interpretation and application of Scripture wrong. Sometimes very wrong. And when this happens, it's never for the benefit of others. Today's gospel reading is one of those passages we can get a little wrong, and a little wrong can go a long way. There's a phrase that you may have come across if you've been exploring the Bible for some time, a popular reading of Scripture. It's a term used to reflect that an interpretation could be commonly held by a majority of biblical scholars, or that that interpretation has been passed down through the history of the church. But there's another side of a popular reading of Scripture, a dark side, which is when an interpretation could be one that suits my personal agenda, status, or ideology, or one that takes the focus off myself and seeks to find a target to land upon. These types of popular readings of Scripture are popular because they're easy. And that should give us a hint that we need to dig a little deeper. Most people who know me well would probably concur that I'm a person who has strong opinions. However, as I've aged, and I've aged a little while I've been on holidays, another year, I've hopefully matured. And so I'm now someone who's realised that I have strong opinions, but I try to hold them lightly. Having strong opinions in and of itself isn't a bad thing. But when we fail to hold them lightly, especially when it comes to biblical interpretation and application, we can find ourselves jumping too quickly to the perspective that matches our strong opinions and close our minds to alternative perspectives and continuous learning. I might be bold in suggesting this, but an increase in narrowed thinking isn't going to help our world at this time in human history, let alone bring anyone closer to Jesus. A popular reading of this scripture goes something like, Jesus is the vine and we are the branches. Every person is a branch. There are good branches and bad branches. The way you can tell a bad branch is it's not producing fruit. We need to make sure that we're producing fruit, otherwise we'll end up being thrown into the fire. Now, there's a few problems with this reading of Scripture, which can lead to some very questionable applications, including we can be too hard on ourselves, as many of us can fail to recognize the fruit that's being produced in our lives. But more easily, we can rush to judgment or condemnation of others, becoming the arbiter of whether they need to be pruned from the vine. We live in a polarized world where there is plenty of pointing at people or people groups who need to be pruned. I'd suggest that this is not consistent with what Jesus taught. This interpretation seems to be compatible with a theology that we are saved by good works and good outcomes. But the Christian faith is founded on the theology that we are saved by not by our good works and our good outcomes, but we are only saved by grace. And this reading completely misses the context of the passage, which is often where we find the more godly application revealed. Over the next 4 weeks, we go back to the part of John's Gospel that is known as the farewell discourse, which is the extended teaching, reflection, and prayer that Jesus shares with his disciples prior to the crucifixion. Even though we are still in the Easter season, it is helpful to read this passage in light of the resurrection to reveal the hope, possibility, and the resurrection power within it. The farewell discourse is Jesus at his intimate, caring, and compassionate best. So I wonder whether that popular reading of Scripture leads to a sense of intimacy, care, and compassion. It's hard to avoid verse 6 because it's a very heavy verse. Whoever does not abide in me is thrown away like a branch and withers. Such branches are gathered, thrown into the fire, and burned. I'd like to suggest that this is not about good branch versus bad branch. It's not a statement of condemnation or judgment. It's simply a statement of truth. A branch separated from a vine does wither. That's just the truth. But in this context of intimacy, care, and compassion, we're not looking for branches that we can gather together and throw into the fire. Jesus is talking to his disciples as they prepare to face the unimaginable impact of the crucifixion. But he reminds them that they're already connected to the vine. And he reminds them that of that connection in verse 3. You have already been cleansed by the word that I have spoken to you. These are the words that Jesus has begun in the farewell discourse earlier. Do not let your hearts be troubled. Stay close to me. Stay connected to me. Abide in me. Another reason the more popular reading of Scripture, which sees everyone as a branch, becomes problematic is that there's actually an interconnectedness about a vine. You can't just ever have one branch. We coexist with other branches. We are never a branch by ourselves. We are a branch with others. And together we make sometimes one branch. So as much as Jesus is saying to us, stay close to Jesus, stay connected to Jesus, abide in Jesus, he is also saying, stay close to each other, stay connected to each other, abide in each other. This is an I am statement. The I am statements, I am the true vine, among the others in John's Gospel, is a unique feature which reveals the divinity, character, and identity of Jesus and points towards the abundant life that's found in relationship with Jesus. And this is the last of the I am statements. And it's the only I am statement that is matched with a you are. I am the true vine, you are the branches. In the midst of the chaos and confusion as the disciples approach the cross, they need this assurance of their character and identity. Notice the grammatical tense of this statement. It's not you have been the branches or you will be the branches. There's nothing that they should have done and there's nothing more they'll have to do to become the branches. They just are. They abide in Jesus and they are the branches. I do hope it's reassuring for us to hear today that there's nothing more that we could have done in the past, and there's no great long list of expectations to tick off into the future. We just have to be as we are, and we have to stay close to Jesus and close to each other, and that will always be enough to bear fruit. Another problematic part of this easy, popular reading of this passage is that an application of that interpretation is that we can actually take ownership and credit for the fruit. Well, it's our fruit. It's not their fruit. But without a connection to the vine and without a connection to others, there's never any fruit. While the branches can't live without the vine, the vine doesn't have much to give without the branches. The mutual need between Jesus and his disciples is easily overlooked, especially when we're looking for branches to throw into the fire. Jesus' mission is made clear in John 3:16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only son so that everyone who believes in him may not perish but have eternal life. And this mission cannot come to bear without the disciples, without us. Jesus' commission to his disciples, as the Father has sent me, so I send you, is our commission as well. How can God love the world without the disciples? How can God love the world without us? There's lots of different directions that I could go when it comes to talking about pruning in this passage. And there's not time to explore them all this morning. So I've chosen what I think seems to be one of the most challenging ways to consider pruning. Rather than taking the easy option, I thought I'd go for the hardest. Sure, it's more popular and easy to focus on all the bad elements of our individual or communal lives that we can all identify that we could or should remove and cast from the vine. But what happens when something that is good, holy, helpful, or special is removed from the vine? I'm sure we've all got experiences we could share when that has happened in our personal lives or in the life of a community that we've belonged to. In the book of Job, As Job's world begins to fall apart, he proclaims, "The Lord gave and the Lord has taken away. Blessed be the name of the Lord." I can testify to the multitude of examples I've encountered when a person's incredibly fruitful testimony in word or action or both has at its source a story of hurt or heartbreak where something precious has been removed from them. I'd never suggest that God makes bad things happen to good people, or bad people for that matter. Again, that's just a bad interpretation and application of Scripture. But I have seen time and time again, and I have personally experienced that when we stay close to Jesus and stay close to each other in times of pain, hardship, and devastation, God can and usually does produce the sweetest fruit from our lives and our communities. My prayer is that we might stay close to Jesus and close to each other and continue to bear fruit for the benefit of others. Amen. We come to a time now where we are led in prayer.